When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Hello and welcome to the Fangirls Podcast, a place for fun, fandoms, friendship, and most importantly, fangirling. I'm Julie, and buckle up, fans, especially our Sarah J. Maas girlies, because today we are chatting all about the long-awaited Crescent City 3. That's right, we're chatting all about House of Flame and Shadow. And when I say we, I mean me and our lovely correspondent, Miss Melinda. Welcome back, friend.
Yay, I'm here. You're here. I'm so excited. How are you?
I am wonderful. And I am so excited to talk to you all about Crescent City 3. For those of you who don't know, we had our own little mini book club where we were doing our homework, doing our due diligence, and prepping with Throne of Glass. And it was so much fun. We made it to book 3 before Crescent City 3 came out. But I felt like we were very well prepared going into Crescent City 3 because you and I had already read the ACOTAR series. And then I peer pressured you into the Crescent City series. That being said, is it even a highly anticipated book release if there isn't TikToks highlighting an unexpected early release? Because I know I was getting TikToks of Crescent City 3 being found at Albertsons a week ahead of time. The Sarah J. Maas PR team is taking a page out of Rebecca Yarros's book, no pun intended, and doing an early release, and not just at Target, but at Walmart. And like the Walmart TikToks I saw where they had the books on display, but then they weren't selling them because they didn't have the barcode. It was a super giant tease. And then I don't know about you guys, but my TikTok algorithm leading up to the Crescent City 3 release. So it was either ACOTAR or Crescent City fan theories or doom and gloom World War III content. There was no happy medium. And the, I don't know, nagging irrational thought that kept popping into my head was, if I don't get my copy of Crescent City 3 before World War III starts, heads will roll. And I'm happy to report that I did get my copy. World War III has not happened yet. That being said, what was your initial thoughts on Crescent City 3?
I couldn't wait to read it. Crescent City 2 ended on such a cliffhanger, and ACOTAR is one of my babies right now. It's one of my hyperfixations. Thank you. And I needed to read this crossover.
This book was almost 900 pages. This was what? 850 pages, give or take. And my initial take was, I don't want to rush art. I'm going to take my time with this. I did not take my time with this. I consumed this as fast as I possibly could. I was mad that my 9-to-5 got in my way. Had I done the audiobook, no work would have been done. At all. I would have zero attention span and be super irritated with anyone and everyone that made me pause my wonderful Crescent City 3. But I loved it. I'm definitely glad we started Throne of Glass because Sarah J. Maas did drop some fun teasers. That being said, I'm ready to spill some tea. Are you ready to spill some tea?
Let's spill it.
This is the part of the show where we spill the tea. This means spoilers. So if you have not read the highly anticipated Crescent City 3, we are about to spoil it for you. Serious question time.
I am ready. I'm all so right. Ready.
There was a massive cliffhanger in Crescent City 2. What are your thoughts on the ACOTAR crossover and where it went in Crescent City 3?
I wished there was more. For me, it was a very long sequence of Bryce not really caring about her actions and what it could mean for Prithian and its people. Her main goal was to learn how to unalive the Asteri, but as soon as Nesta did that, she didn't care and was mad because she wanted to ask more questions. Bryce, you showed up with a flash, covered in blood, with a sword that now reacts to Azrael's dagger, and you're mad because they don't know you? Like,
right? Ma'am, take it down a notch.
Nesta and Azrael were so amiable towards Bryce, and for her to just leave them to the worm.
I know.
I would kick you off the bridge myself if I could. But I really wanted to see more of her interaction with Reese, with the Night Court, with Farah. I totally love the dynamic of Azrael and Nesta. Azrael is my favorite bat boy.
Okay.
So this was a treat for me, but I just needed more. It just felt very abrupt.
Sarah J. Maas barely scratched the surface of what this could have been. And the long cave sequence, while I thoroughly also enjoyed Nesta and Azrael's company, it wasn't enough. I had the highest expectations. I was like, Bryce gets to go to Night Court? I was over the moon. I was so excited for Bryce. What if she's there during solstice? We don't even know what time of year she was there. And that drives me nuts. I want to know how fast time passes. But because they were underground in a cave, we don't know. All we know is that she was gone for 5 days. Like, what the hell? She didn't get to even hear about or explore the other courts. Oh, I was so bummed. But I was super bummed that Bryce didn't get to meet the other Valkyries or just enjoy Valeris. They all just got on the wrong foot so fast. You guys have so much in common. You guys are all on the same team. Why can't you guys make a conscientious effort to get along? Sarah J. Maas barely scratched the surface on what this crossover could have been, and it could have been so much more. And I'm not upset. I'm just disappointed.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. All right. Next series question. What was your favorite storyline?
You know, I think mine's going to have to be Rune and Lydia's storyline. So I feel like the character growth between the two of them, it was just so good. And we were all theorizing about Lydia, and we were all pretty much right on the nose with that. Just reading the two of them becoming closer and Rune realizing that they're mates, Lydia coming into her own separate from Pollux and the Asteri. And, you know, she had Mark and Declan help with the rescue, but that was basically all her. She was just kicked butt, and when she turned into the hind during the chase, got to the edge of the cliff and just jumped the cliff to get away from, oh my god. So I'm just, all my words have escaped me. I've become a flustered fan over the love I have of this plot line.
I was on the edge of my seat with that one too, especially when she jumped, and I was like, all right, Lyd, it's been real. You fought the good fight, only for her to live. Did not see that one coming.
What's your favorite storyline?
So I'm going to have to go with Bryce bringing Avalyn back to life. It felt like, A, I was in the cave with her. The Sarah J. Maas world building was very strong with this storyline. I could not get enough of it. I thought this was probably one of her most well-written storylines, starting with the black salt, like Bryce figuring out when she took her finger to the cave wall and licked it. And I was like, girlfriend, what are you doing? Like, I was judging. And the way that she put Truth Teller and the Star Sword in that 8-pointed star, I felt like I was in the cave with her as she was putting those two missing puzzle pieces together as Avalyn came to life. And you see the trees sprouting from the cave. You know that it's just cinematically going to be the most beautiful thing to see this scene come to life. And I really hope it does. That was my favorite scene, hands down. All right. Next serious question. Top three biggest bombshells that were dropped in Crescent City 3.
I think for the first one for me was the fact that Bryce is distantly related to Rezand. It's like it's the whole story between Selene and her sister Helena and how Thea and Fionn, you know, defeated the Daeglin, who are known as the Asteri in Crescent City. And we find out that the prison off the coast of Prithian was actually the Dusk Court.
Which you called! Ooh, you called. Oh, that was so good.
So yeah, now Bryce is the descendant of Helena and Rhysand is the descendant of Selene. So both are descended from Fionn, and Fionn, he knows, the last High King of the Fae. I'm speechless. Like, that was a bombshell for me when I connected the dots. The second one, we finally figured out Hunt's background, that he was basically created to help Bryce defeat the Asteri. You know, Hunt was like, oh, so making us mates, like, that was just a, you know, was that just the cherry on top? And they went, no, actually, that was the cauldron. And my third one, I loved the mic drop moment when Rune told his dad that he lied about his prophecy.
Oh, that was so good.
So good. He's like, oh, by the way, I lied. What are yours?
One of the first bombshells that caught me off guard was that Lydia is distantly related to Aelin. And while there were plenty of hints and teasers about Throne of Glass throughout this book, that one, I was like, oh, I grabbed my pearls. I was like, oh my goodness, here we go. Here we go. Again, right there with you with Hunt having 3 to 4 dads.
What in the Mamma Mia?
Yeah, I was like, what's going on? Am I reading this right? Okay. And 3 out of the 4 are the princes of hell. And then one was just the carrier. Okay, not mad, but here we go. All right. And the other one that I just wasn't expecting, because, like, sure, Selene's monologue was beautiful. And I love all the history that Selene dropped. But the third bombshell that caught me completely off guard was there was an Asteri hibernating under the cave. So under Dusk Court, under the prison, a living, breathing, hibernating Asteri, you know, on Prithian. So those are my top three bombshells. So with us doing our due diligence and reading the first Throne of Glass books, I felt very well prepared to catch some Easter eggs and or hints or teasers. And I did. And I know you did too. What were your top three Throne of Glass Easter eggs that you found?
The moment that I had to actually put my book down. I'm reading an ebook, so I'm setting down my little tablet and I have to stop. It's the moment when Hypaxia and Ethan are speaking with the Underking, and he mentions that Urd was not a goddess, but a force that governed worlds, a cauldron of life brimming with the language of creation. I was like, wait, the cauldron in ACOTAR. That was mind-blowing for me. And the other one was in the same conversation. The Underking stated that Urd's true name is Word. W-Y-R-D. And again, had to put my book down, and I went, oh my god, because of the word keys from Throne of Glass.
Right.
And he said that he's from that world where the shifters came from, but they weren't known as shifters back then. And I was like, oh my god, freaking out. I'm totally fangirling right now. And as you stated earlier, when Lydia tells Bran his full name is Brannon, and she turns into fire, I was like, oh my god, I wish there was more of a Throne of Glass crossover with Crescent right? City, but I am so happy with the things that Sarah J. Maas gave us. And those are my top three. What are yours?
So she threw out the stag symbolism a lot in Crescent City 3. So I was like, okay, I see what you're doing here. I'm picking up what you're putting down, Miss Maas. I get it. So Avalyn, their mascot is the stag, which to me screamed Tarrison. And I was like, okay, we're getting somewhere. I'm also there with you with the Underking bombshell. That was a big deal. But it was the Arkesian amulet that Jessaba gave her when Jessaba is passing away and they meet in the afterlife. And Jessaba mentions to Bryce, hey, you know that amulet I gave you for protection? It wasn't for funsies. There were a lot of similarities between that amulet and the Eye of Elena that Aelin wears. So I'm guessing they're from the same world. There were tons of Throne of Glass Easter eggs and hints that Miss Sarah J. Maas was dropping, and I couldn't get enough of it. We're going to address the elephant in the room here, because there were some annoying AF storylines that hit a nerve. And I know I saw it on TikTok too. It's not just me.
Oh, man. So the two storylines that I could not read faster, it was Therian and it was Ethan. So these two try to help, but in doing so, they make things worse. And at one point, I just wanted to jump into the book, hold on to Ethan's shoulders and be like, just stop. Just stand here. Don't say a word. Don't think anything. Don't move. Let Bryce and Hunt and the team figure this out. So those are the two that annoyed me. What were yours?
I'd have to say, like, Bryce was a total sasshole from start to finish in book three of Crescent City. And she was really giving off Danica Fender energy throughout this whole process. Like you mentioned, she shows up unannounced in Prithian. She just walked in here like she owned the place and gave so much sass versus, hey, can we chat? Can we work together? Things just went south so fast in that storyline. There was, I do what I want, when I want, how I want, end of story, because I'm Bryce. I am starborn, take it or leave it. And poor Hunt. He had his moments too, where he was just like, hot damn, you are pissing me off, something fierce right now. Can you not? I mean, they even addressed it at the very end with Nesta and Cassian too. Like, oh, they're just alpha holes. And I was like, yeah, well, you guys aren't exactly amiable either. Next serious question. There were some fun bonus chapters. And Miss Sarah J. Maas made a point of giving 5 different book retailers exclusive bonus chapters. So I had the Barnes & Noble exclusive. You had the Walmart exclusive. There was a Target exclusive. And then there was a indie bookseller exclusive. And the other retailer was Books A Million. My question for you is, what was your favorite bonus chapter?
It's a tie for me between the Nesta Azrael Bryce chapter and the Ember and Randall chapter. Thing I loved about Azrael and Nesta is that we find out that Azrael is a club rat.
Yes.
That he likes, you know, house music. But Nesta is just, you know, she's all about the classical. She's the classical pop girly. And then with Randall and Ember, the way that Ember deals with Rhysand, because, you know, Ember had to deal with the Autumn King, who was 10 times worse than Rhysand when it came to, you know, toxic masculinity. Like, she just walked up to him and did not look away, did not look down, and the way that Rhysand, like, recognized that she's been through a lot worse.
Right.
Oh, that was a bonus chapter we needed.
I was also torn between two. So it was the Randall and Ember chapter, along with Lydia and Rune. With the Randall and Ember chapter, again, barely scratched the surface. I was like, you guys got a second honeymoon in Valeris and I wasn't invited? I want to know how and when you guys went and had a great brunch at Rita's, okay? I want to know that you guys went sightseeing and enjoyed Valeris for everything it was. And with Lydia and Rune, they got married!
Oh, they got married.
And Lydia planned everything. And it was so beautiful. And it was under the moonlight. And it was perfection. Last series question. So with Crescent City 3, Sarah J. Maas tied up a lot of loose ends. And I totaled it up all together. And she killed off about 10 main characters. 12 if you include Bryce and Lydia. And I see how Sarah J. Maas set up the next ACOTAR book. Yeah, with Bryce giving the Star Sword and Truth Teller to Nesta. And I think she did a good job tying up those loose ends. But like going into the next Crescent City book, the main issue that kept popping up or that they were stressing over was the First Light issue that was ran by the Asteri. The Asteri kept Crescent City alive. So that was their power source. So electricity, everything ran off of the Asteri's power to keep Crescent City alive and well. And when you kill off the Asteri, everybody's like, what do we do? We don't have a source of electricity. Or how are we going to power the city now? And I was like, I feel like this is a major plot hole, because with Crescent City being the more modern Fey world, more urban, you're telling me you guys have all the technology and the history of not just the tech, but also the magic. And you guys can't figure out how to put together a solar panel? I kept reverting back to, yeah, but this could be solved with a solar panel. I could literally look up on Amazon right now. There are phone chargers made out of solar panels that could charge your phone right now. But no, this is the plot hole that we're really like stressing about right now. Help me understand. What do you think Sarah J. Maas has in store for Crescent City 4?
I for sure think that Hypaxia and Ethan are going to go after Sigrid.
Okay.
And Stanlin's is going to happen. Bryce and Hunt will deal with the Fae politics, with the fall down of the government. Lydia and Rune are going to get dragged into some conflict. They're going to try and be normal, you know, with Lydia's kids, and something's going to happen and it's all going to go awry. Therian for sure is going to look for Sathia with the help of Ariadne. But also, I think the theory going around is that the next Crescent City book is going to be themed around water, because the first book is earth, second book was air, third book is fire. So like just following the four elements, like it makes sense.
Well done. Well done, Miss Sarah J. Maas. You had us on the edge of our seat. It was wonderful. I miss it already. I can't wait to finish Throne of Glass so I can go back and find more Throne of Glass Easter eggs in the Crescent City series. But this was a fun ride. So I encourage anyone and everyone to throw us your fan theories. We're here for it. And now it is time for the Spotlight of the Week. Looking for a quick and honest review on an upcoming movie? Check out Parking Lot Reviews, where our lovely correspondent, Miss China, gives her hot take on a variety of movies the moment she leaves the theater. Follow Parking Lot Reviews on TikTok and Instagram at Parking Lot Reviews. The Fangirls Podcast is brought to you by Believe Podcast Network, and we want to thank you for listening to our podcast. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts for a new, fun, fandom episode of the Fangirls Podcast.
We here at the Fangirls Podcast are not affiliated with the following: Bloomsbury Press, Sarah J. Maas, Writer's House, or any other media mentioned today. We're just really big fans.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
"Shut the front door!"
Winning!
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.